Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
I'm O'Connor of O'Connor & Company. Larry O'Connor here. She's company today. She is Jessie Jane Duff. What a year. What are you doing?
I'm a gunnery sergeant, United States Marine Corps retired.
20-year retired Marine Corps gunnery sergeant. But I like to say it a different way each time.
That's your problem.
She puts the oh my in NCO.
Staff NCO.
Please stop with the protocol here. Jessie Jane Duff, all morning long. Thank you for being here, especially this week.
It's exciting.
As we honor our military and so many people who have made sacrifices over the last 20 years since September 11th. Although you were in before the events of 9/11.
I remember where I was when I was based in Marine Forces Pacific Hawaii, and I happened to be up very early. The time change there, most people were still asleep, but I was doing my homework. I was trying to finish up my degree at the time, and boom, there it was on television, and I just froze. A friend of mine from D.C. called. He goes, turn the television on.
Yeah, we're at war.
He said. But it took, a lot of people don't realize, it took us probably another 6 months before we actually got over there into Afghanistan. It didn't happen immediately. You had to get the congressional authorization to use military force.
But from that moment that President Bush stood on the rubble with a bullhorn and said the people who knocked these walls down are going to hear from all of us soon, we knew that we were going to Afghanistan. And now here we are 20 years later seeing the horrific, horrific withdrawal of troops there under this Commander-in-Chief Joe Biden. Michael Pregin is a former intelligence officer, senior fellow now at Hudson Institute. Michael, thank you for being here. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. I was also a company commander in Afghanistan in 2002.
Well, thank you for that, too. So I'm sure you're looking pretty intently on what's going on the ground there. And I got to – well, first of all, with regard to the withdrawal, and I don't know where you were one way or the other as to whether we should have withdrawn or not, but it doesn't take a whole lot of Monday morning quarterbacking here to say that how this happened was completely wrong. Who do you blame here?
I blame the decision makers, the intel community and the military at the lieutenant colonel and below all saw this coming. The leadership polished up bad intelligence and politicized it and then handed it over. But as we now know, based on the leaked documents to Reuters or the leaked audio call, the president knew it was bad there, but he didn't want to paint that narrative. He wanted something different. And unfortunately, I blame it on the leadership. From intel leadership to military leadership to the White House. The Cassandras in the intelligence community knew about this. They warned about it. The Cassandras at the State Department warned about it. And our military that was actually seeing what was happening on the ground, even though their footprint had shrunk, saw this coming as well.
Well, and I got to say, I mean, hearing that is so incredibly frustrating and infuriating because the whole 9/11 commission after that horrific terror attacks of 2001, we were supposed to have sort of cleaned up a lot of the problems in leadership of our military and our intelligence communities so that they would give the decision makers the unabashed truth and not try to polish things up for political purposes. We're right back where we started.
Well, it's the same people that were involved in the scandal at CENTCOM where they were polishing up intel on ISIS for President Obama, the same people in charge now.
Yeah.
You have to remember General Austin was in charge of CENTCOM at that time, and there was a scandal there because his senior intel guy was basically just sending good news stories to Obama about ISIS, and that's why you got that term, ISIS is a JV team. So this is just a thing that continues. 20 years after 9/11, when that wall was supposed to come down, it came down, but leadership basically continues to push for these positive, good news, intel summaries as opposed to what's actually happening on the ground.
So this is Jesse. What is the advantage, though, to painting such a rosy picture? Because it essentially leaves us very flat-footed, obviously incapable of defending ourselves. And the amount of money that we have spent on this war on terror, I've always advocated that. We have spent trillions of dollars for a new department, Homeland Security, higher levels of intelligence. I mean, we have pumped money into this on a level that none of us ever imagined after September 11th. So what advantages there to paint this rosy picture when, you know, here we have Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, who is right behind all that. Haven't they learned anything? And what do you think the method to the madness is?
Well, Lloyd Austin was my regimental commander when I was in the 82nd Airborne Division, and he was picked for this job for a reason. he was a yes man at CENTCOM, and he's a yes man at Secretary of Defense, and I have no problem saying that as a veteran. The benefit of this is you get the president, you get the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, you get Secretary Austin, all stay in unison. We didn't see any intel that said this was coming. And then we also have to remember that General Milley certified the Afghan National Army 30 days before it fell. He certified it as qualified.
Yeah.
So he was getting bad information all the way up. And the one thing I challenge leaders on is you need to ask for the dissenting opinion. They got bad information because that's the information they wanted. They wanted the information that fit their narrative and fit their strategy to exit. And these are the consequences. And there should be a lot of people getting fired or at least have the intestinal fortitude to resign.
Michael Prigent, you talk about how you were early on in Afghanistan there in that campaign. And I remember, you know, as a civilian, seeing all the news reports, our first allies on the ground were the Northern Alliance. We kept hearing about the Northern Alliance, the Northern Alliance. They were the resistance to the Taliban. They had resisted the Soviet Union. That Northern Alliance is basically this resistance front that we've seen under siege from the Taliban right now. And we're nowhere to be found to support them. What do you know about what's happened in Panjshir? Are they still there? Has the Taliban taken over from your perspective in Panjshir province? And what do we owe those men who are still fighting as they have so often at our side?
Right. With those men are the ones that made up the commando force, the highly trained, effective unit in Afghanistan that was embedded where our special forces were embedded with them. They are now the resistance, and the Taliban is working with Pakistan, the intel service out of there, to attack our abandoned ally in the Panjshir Valley. So we are effectively not using leverage with the Taliban, ceding leverage to Pakistan as they continue to attack what's left of our ally, the ally we just abandoned. We're now letting another ally, in quotations, Pakistan, basically destroy the remnants of what we created over the last 20 years. And that's an offense to every veteran. That's an offense to any ally we've ever had. And it makes it difficult for the next special operator to go into in Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria and say, do very difficult things for us and we will not abandon you, when they have such recent examples of betrayal and abandonment. This is going to have ramifications for decades when it comes to the U.S. military's interaction with host nation nationals.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Michael. We go way back. I remember speaking with you in Fox News green rooms, and you've always had such an incredible insight on everything. And I was thrilled to hear what you just said about Secretary Lloyd Austin, because I know that when he was getting vetted to become Secretary of Defense, Elizabeth Warren scantily discussed his $1.5 million in unvested stock with Raytheon, and the fact that he was able to walk into the Secretary of Defense without that, what is it, a 5-year gap that they're supposed to have, really just reinforces the mindset that many of the people that have profited off of this war and the continuation of us having to go back will be the defense industry, which is very difficult for Americans to get their heads around. We should not be profiting off of this. Do you think that there is any nefarious mindset on that level that, you know, maybe this is a continuation for the not necessarily to ever solve it.
You know what? That's way too big a question to get right this second. We got to break real fast on traffic. But Michael, can you stay with us? Because that's what people are asking. People need to know. We talk about the industrial complex, military industrial complex, and you're seeing people who, yes, own stock in these companies, and it serves them to continue having some sort of emergency military buildup once again in that region.
Since World War II.
All right, so we're going to get back into that in a moment, because these are the important questions that need to be asked and answered. Michael Prigent continues with us, but first,
I personally think that my military estimate is that the conditions are likely to develop of a civil war. I don't know if the Taliban is going to be able to consolidate power and establish governance. They may be, maybe not, but I think there's at least a very good probability of a broader civil war, and that will then in turn lead to conditions that could, in fact, lead to a reconstitution of al-Qaeda.
That's General Mark Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, answering a question by Jennifer Griffin at Fox News. Are we safer or less safe than we were before our pullout? And you heard him. Yes, we're going to get a civil war there. Al-Qaeda could reconstitute. Michael Prigent, you just said you've got Taliban cooperating with Pakistan. China is ready to recognize them. I saw you saying on social media the other day, what happens when they start asking Russia for airstrikes? They will cooperate as well. This is now the climate for another horrific terror attack and more violence against our allies, what's left of them in that region. Is this all part of the same machine where, you know, Senator Graham last night said, yeah, we got to probably go back in there again. And then we'll all be asked to make those sacrifices again, including spending a whole lot of money with all of these military corporations. And the generals that make the decisions end up benefiting, as you just pointed out. I mean, when does this end?
I mean, the one thing that if we heard General Petraeus or Mattis come out and say that Lloyd Austin should resign or that Mark Milley should resign, because they both should resign, that would be so impactful. That would send a message to the force. The force is demoralized. Mm-hmm. But instead, these generals are on boards. So they can't say these things or they'll lose their board positions. These generals are in these, I'm not saying these two generals, but other generals are in this, the contractor world, the yep. basically the Raytheons and everybody else. So it silences them. And if you look at who's keeping us in these forever wars, it's not the decision makers. It's the retired generals tied to business in these countries that continue to come in as I'm a retired general and I think we should stay in there because it benefits them. I think anyone who has business ties in these countries should be disqualified from testifying in front of Congress and should be disqualified from briefing the White House, State Department, and DOD. And it happens all the time. And I'm writing about it. I actually have a book contract and I'm writing about that.
Are you?
That whole thing. Yeah, it's because I go into these rooms and I see people at the Pentagon. I'm like, why is he sitting at the table when he has business interests in this country? And he's basically advocating on behalf of political parties tied to Iran or tied to other places and condemning U.S. foreign policy, basically being against killing Qasem Soleimani.
How do you fix that? Like, I mean, that. You two are vets, all right? Help me out. I'm a civilian. I want us to have the strongest military. I want it to be the best equipped. If we have to spend hundreds of billions to do so, I do, because I don't want other countries messing with us. And I also don't begrudge a general who's given 30 years of his life to get a nice job after his retirement and make some nice money as a consultant.
But I do.
So, okay, well, talk me through that.
Yeah, because here's the problem that Michael and I probably both experience. Once they get into the Pentagon, they become politicians. And it's
no longer recognize them when they get to D.C.
Yes,
we don't.
They are no longer seeking out the welfare of their Marine soldiers, sailors, and airmen, but they are politicizing their position to pick up the next star. The Air Force, what is the new one? The Space Force commander, the general in charge, was promoted 4 times under President Obama. That means he got a promotion every 2 years. Now, President Trump had called this out. He said so many had left the military and went right into these boards and these positions with the military-industrial complex, and they're profiting on a major level. That is not what the service of our country is about. You cannot tell me a 3-4-star general retirement is not enough for them to be able to live a lifestyle that is pretty good. That was one of the conflicts that happened with Mattis, with his hands were in Amazon. And then when Jeff Bezos didn't get his big Amazon cloud project, that was a $10 billion project, after Mattis had left, he tried to suggest that Trump had impeded it and Microsoft got it. These folks have gotten so in bed with money makers, now you no longer know. Are you sending your son and daughter to war for the best interests of this country or the best interests of somebody who's profiting off of it? And I think there should be a separation from all of these generals who get these jobs, that they are not allowed to do it for maybe either they do it for 2 years, but they could never advise. They go on MSNBC and they're not honest about who they represent. They call themselves these retired generals, but they should be listing who they're representing, and they don't.
Michael Prejean, we'll let you have the last word here. Follow up, please.
Yeah, I have no problem with them taking these jobs. I got a problem with them advising the government while they're in these jobs.
Yes.
Or keeping us in. They should not be. We have laws on the books for this reason. Austin and Mattis should not have been secretaries of defense. I was for Mattis, but then I didn't recognize him as secretary of defense. I've always known who Austin is. And most of the force knows who Austin is. He's a rubber stamp. He's a yes man. And we've left Americans in Afghanistan. Nobody's talking about that. The SecDef and Milley patted themselves on the back. And we have between 4,000 and 9,000 Americans or green card holders in this country. And this White House, DOD, State Department don't seem to care about that. And we have a motto in the military, never leave a man behind. We don't have a motto that says, well, we're going to get 90% out, but the 10%, we can just leave them back there because they chose to stay. That's upsetting all these veterans. And that's why they're still in Afghanistan doing what the White House won't do and getting Americans and getting Afghan civs and getting Afghans in, you know, crisis or special status out of there because our government wouldn't do it. This is the first time the military's been on the ground and departed, leaving Americans behind.
Yes.
The military's built to go get Americans. It's not built to stay away from a fire. It's built to go into the fire and get Americans out.
Mike,
and this is a disgrace. Anyway, thanks for
thank you. No, Michael, great stuff. That's why we had you on. A retired intelligence officer, did his time in Afghanistan there early on, and now a senior fellow at Hudson Institute. I appreciate it, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Jane. Good talking to you.
It is 8:23.